The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, acclaimed pet care and wellness professional Kim Gablin shares helpful advice on the importance of having a pet first aid kit and how best to prepare for and prevent unexpected emergencies. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment. As a pet parent, I understand the importance of being prepared for pet emergencies because I know that emergencies are always unplanned and unexpected. Fortunately, we have with us today acclaimed pet care and wellness professional Kim Gablin to share some basic first aid recommendations and helpful guidance on how to put together our own DIY pet first aid kits. Welcome back to the show, Kim.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to talk about this topic. I think it's a very important topic for pet parents.
I agree, and it's very timely because April is Pet First Aid Awareness Month. And Kim, why do you think it's such an important month and important topic for pet parents?
Well, you know, pet emergencies can happen at any time, right? That makes them an emergency. And you're not always thinking about what to do or what could happen until something goes wrong. So it's just a great reminder to think about what you could do to be prepared, because being prepared can really help, right? Those first few minutes during an emergency, doing the right thing, that can really make a big difference in the outcome, right, of what happens. So, you know, it's not, certainly not a replacement for veterinary care, but it certainly can help, you know, stabilize a pet until you get them to the vet. So that's really important, right? And when you're prepared, it also kind of calms everything down, stops everyone from panicking, right? You can kind of think through what needs to happen. So our pets need us to think about that, right? To be ready for when something goes wrong. So this is a great way this month to think about that.
Absolutely. Kim, have you ever experienced a pet emergency yourself? And if so, how did you handle it?
Oh my gosh, yes. I think if you're a pet parent, you've experienced some sort of emergency and at some point. My specific one, it was very, very worrisome, right? It was when my dog, and you might have heard me talk about this before, I know, so you have.
Yes.
When my dog got into my aunt's purse during one of the parties we had, and she ate most of a pack of sugar-free gum. And sugar-free gum contains xylitol, typically. And xylitol is extremely toxic to dogs, right? Blizzard was a Bichon, and just a couple pieces of it could have killed him. So eating most of the pack was really, really dangerous. So because of what I do for a living, because I heard in the past that the xylitol was bad, I knew right away this was an emergency, even though everyone else at the party was like, oh, it just had some gum, you know, no big deal, Kim. This was really a big deal. So I went to the emergency vet, I called my vet's phone number, found the emergency vet number, and then took my dog to the vet immediately. And thankfully, because I did that, they were able to pump his stomach. They were able to give him the kinds of things he needed, the treatment he needed to be able to stabilize him. And I had a good outcome. But it can be really scary about the things that have happened. I mean, what about you, Sue? Have you had an emergency before? I'm sure.
I've had a number of them. But one I had that affected all of them, and it was something that was they're always unexplained and unexpected. But it happened outside. I had the girls outside. We have a small area where we have a little fenced in area where they go out, do their business. They kind of snoop around, and we have flowers out there and everything. So they went out, and like within an hour of coming in, they were vomiting. They had diarrhea. It was like, and that was like all of them. And so I called my vet, rushed them to the vet with the symptoms that they had. She said, I believe it was some sort of pest control poison. So she was treating them for that. She called with me the pest control that we have, which is pet friendly, animal friendly pest control. Mm-hmm. And she spoke with them and she asked what they use. The stuff that they use would definitely not be something that would cause what the girls were experiencing. So by the time I got home, he had met us at my house, and what he saw was some pellets, which we don't use pellets, that were in on our fence line next to our neighbor. And we had just had some horrendous rainstorms, and they had come from her yard into our yard. He actually went and talked to her. She told him the brand she used, which was from a store brand. And he said that, you know, this is not only going to take care of the animals that you would like to take care of, but unfortunately, cats, dogs, rabbits, everything else will be taken care of because of the components, which she wasn't aware of. And she was very open to it. We changed the way our little side yard is. It took the girls almost 30 days to recover. They're on protocol. Yeah, a very strict protocol. They were very, very sick. And we had to have our whole yard redone. So we learned the hard way that it may not be something you have at your house. It may be something that someone else has at their house that somehow gets into your yard. So always be careful and be vigilant. I go out now and I scope before I let them out every single day. And that was quite a few years. Olive was still alive when that happened. So it was quite a few years ago.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, that really highlights, you know, you need to know your dogs, right? I mean, you knew when they came in, something was wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so that really helps, right? You have to kind of pay attention. And then, you know, you were able to find out kind of through some sleuthing, right, what was going on and what might have caused it and how to get to that information. So that's really important information. We're gonna talk a lot about, like, kind of understanding that as you're going through some sort of a pet first aid issue.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and I brought that into it. You brought what Blizzard went through. What are some of the most common pet emergencies that pet parents may encounter?
Well, so like we just talked about, number one would be poison ingestion. So, you know, things like, of course, you know, there's food things like chocolate, grapes and raisins, wine, right? Anything with grapes in it, sugar-free gum and other products, because like peanut butter and other things can contain xylitol, household cleaners, certain plants, and then could be things around the yard, like you said, like fertilizer or sometimes antifreeze if it's not pet safe, or even, you know, rat poison, right? Or, you know, rodent poison that might have been intended for something else, but, you know, unfortunately the dogs got into it. Another big one is cuts or wounds. You know, in case a dog gets a cut on a paw from a sharp object, you know, inside the house or outside, broken nails can also be an issue. So those can also bleed quite a bit. Or when you're clipping their nails, sometimes you can clip that quick and they can bleed a little bit. Another one is choking. Possible causes of that are, you know, obviously them getting into something, like maybe swallowing a part of a toy that they weren't intended to swallow, or maybe bones or large pieces of food, or, you know, something else that they found in the yard, you know, could be something that they're choking on. And if you're seeing them like pawing at the mouth or having difficulty breathing or, you know, in some sort of distress, that may be an indication that they're choking. I think the fourth one is heat stroke. You know, we're certainly going to be getting into warmer weather here, outdoor activity. And so, you know, you may see your dog heavily panting or drooling excessively, maybe looking a little weak or throwing up, you know, vomiting. That those are all kind of symptoms of heat stroke. And then the fifth most common is bee stings or allergic reactions. You know, when you're seeing your dog have swelling in a particular part of their body, you know, a lot of times you'll see that in their mouth or their face. They might have hives or they might have difficulty breathing. So, you know, these five things, they're some of the more common things that happen. But, you know, like we just talked about, the most important first step is recognizing that there's something wrong, right? Something isn't right. Something's out of sorts with your dog or your cat. And that if you're seeing that, then you have to then start really kind of putting this into action.
Absolutely. And you know, as you've just talked about, there's just so many things that we need to be aware of. But when something unexpected happens, what should pet parents do first?
You know, I think the first thing is the hardest thing, and that's stay calm, right? You know, you have to kind of stay calm because, you know, first of all, you need to be the one thinking through what needs to happen next. And, you know, our pets, they're very sensitive.
Yes.
They're very in tuned to us. So they pick up on our emotions, right? They know kind of what we're feeling, and that could also help them be a little more panicky. So you want to kind of try to stay calm. And, you know, secondly, you want to secure the situation. You want to make sure it's safe. So, you know, if there's something that's dangerous that's near them, you want to take it away. You want to make sure that that your pet may actually be hurting. You know, they may actually bite you accidentally, right?
Yes.
Because they're afraid. They're afraid you're going to hurt them while this is all going on. So, you know, you do want to see if you can, you know, gather them up either in a towel or a blanket. You may need to get something like a towel to wrap around their mouth to make sure that they're safe in case they might bite you. So you have to kind of be making sure, kind of assessing that situation and then taking away anything that, you know, they might have gotten into away from them, right? So, and then check their breathing and responsiveness. Make sure, you know, kind of understand what that is. You want to control any bleeding with a gentle pressure. You know, maybe a gauze, a clean cloth, you know, is really helpful to have in that case. So that's really important. And again, why this first aid piece is so important. And then you want to prevent any further injury, right? You want to try to help keep them still. And then, you know, last but not least, you want to call your veterinarian or emergency clinic, right? So, you know, I always talk, you know, you and I have talked about this all the time, but I always try to keep my, in case of emergency, my ICE phone number in my phone, because my phone is almost always with me, right? When I'm out walking the dog, when I'm at home, my phone, you know, seems to be always near me. So it's a great tip to be able to, you know, have ICE vet in there, for example, or put emergency vet in there. And Sue, you and I have talked about this before. Sometimes, you know, you can't get to the one vet that might, or maybe they're closed, right? So you might want to have more than one vet in your phone as an emergency vet. So you know, kind of what to do and who to call right away to find out what to do next.
Absolutely. And Kim, that happened to me because one of our beloved fur kids was going through something that required an emergency. Of course, it happens on a Saturday later in the day. And the emergency vet clinic that I had used for years had on their answering machine, they had changed their hours and they didn't put a recommendation on where to go if, you know, you needed. So I'm calling around and I did find someone who would take us based on what the emergency was, but I didn't have that. Now that number's in my phone, but it's like you said, our phones are always with us, whether we're in the house or outside of the house, and have that inside there and have an alternate inside there, because there may not be a referral to go to another emergency vet on someone else's answering machine. So that's a great, great, great tip.
Now's a good time to like call your vet, right? And maybe talk to them about who do they recommend.
Yep,
you
know, exactly.
Sometimes they have partnerships or whatever. So, you know, you can sometimes get some advice about who to see, check their reviews online or whatever. That's always a really good way to be able to kind of find someone to be able to help you and get it in your phone. I didn't have it in my phone either. So I called my vet who I knew was closed, but they gave me a recommendation. And then that's what I ended up doing.
You had explained earlier to stay calm is the key, because when things like that happen, as I said earlier, it's unexpected, unplanned, and everyone, you know, the person who's like the center of it all, which is the pet parent, has to remain calm in order for the pets to remain calm. And if you have a multiple pet household, other pets to remain calm. So that's so key to handling these situations. Now, why don't we take a quick break? And when we return, Kim will share some more helpful preventive measures for pet parents in preparation for a pet emergency. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Doggy Diva Diaries is proud to announce the Paw It Forward initiative in loving memory of Miss Olive. Each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. The designated charity will be revealed at the end of each Doggy Diva Show episode. Miss Olive's legacy of kindness and love lives on in her books, which are about a lonely little rescue dog who spreads the message that it's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's the love in your heart that counts. Her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. Help Miss Olive paw it forward and visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We are here with acclaimed pet care and wellness professional, Kim Gablin, who is sharing helpful advice for pet parents during Pet First Aid Awareness Month and also helping us to build a DIY pet first aid kit. So, Kim, what are some preventive measures that pet parents can take?
There are, of course, a few steps that you can take. You know, first of all, you want to make sure you've pet-proofed your home. You want to keep the medications, gum, you know, since that's top of mind, cleaning products, you know, anything that could be toxic out of reach of your pets. And, you know, you want to know which foods are toxic, right? The five most toxic, the big five, are chocolate, that grapes, raisins, and wine, xylitol products, onions, especially for dogs, and macadamia nuts for dogs as well. So those are the top five most toxic foods. You want to make sure if they're outside that you're supervising that outdoor play.
Yes. Check all corners of your yard.
Yes. And, you know, and check for plants too, right? There can be plants out there that may be dangerous. So make sure that the plants that are in your yard your dog has access to are okay. Keep your pets on a leash when it's appropriate. You know, obviously, if they're in the backyard and you're fenced, it's fine. But if you're out and about, you may want to, you know, if they're not very good at listening, especially, you want to keep them on a leash. And then, you know, you want to schedule your regular veterinary visits, right? That, you know, again, you're being preventative. You're trying to make sure that they're staying in line and that everything looks like it's okay. They're being healthy. And then, you know, last but not least, it's great to be able to take a first aid class.
That is key. And actually, taking a first aid class is so important, I believe, as a pet parent. But I also wonder, do you think that pet parents should consider learning CPR?
Yeah, you know, pet CPR can be really very valuable, you know, and it can be used or should be used when a pet has stopped breathing or has no heartbeat. And, you know, it's funny, but it is kind of similar to human CPR, mm-hmm. but it has to be adapted, obviously, for pets. But there are a lot of, you know, a lot of veterinary clinics and shelters and animal organizations offer pet first aid and CPR classes, right? So you can search online for a class near you. I know I was doing that before we talked about looking at that. And there are quite a few that are out there, and it may be a month or two away, but you can sign up. And there's really, they're pretty reasonable. You know, they're probably anywhere from $40 to $150 or so, depending on if it's a whole day and there's lunch involved or whatever, but it could be really valuable to be able to learn CPR.
I have to tell you, Kim, I took the first aid class and CPR class years ago. A friend of mine, we were both in rescue and a class was being offered. And I had already taken pet first aid years ago and I'd taken human CPR and human first aid. Mm-hmm. But I decided I'd take the pet CPR. And there were a number of pet sitters in our class, and they were saying that to have this as one of their, you know, in their tools to say that they know pet CPR really helps mm-hmm. them with their job. And so I was thinking that was great. I never thought I would need to use CPR. But we took it, and I was so glad I did because I do use the first aid. In fact, I have the book. I have everything. My first aid kit, my book that I received from the class, all in one spot. It's where all my hurricane stuff is. I have an entire shelf just for the girls. But one of my dogs, Francesca, who has since passed, but she didn't pass. She's almost 18. So this is when she was like 16. She was unresponsive when we were getting the dogs up in the morning. It was very early in the morning. And she was a deep sleeper. So I said to John, I go, oh, no, there's something wrong. Well, I started the CPR immediately. I told him what to do.
Oh, my gosh.
And I did mine, and we did it both. We got her resuscitated. I told him to call the vet. We were bringing her in right away, mm-hmm. and they were so good. We brought her in. They took her in right away, and they said, you and John, you saved her life, and that they were saying if pet parents knew to take CPR just to do this, and we got, you know, Francesca lived till she was almost 18, but we could have lost her that day. So I can't advocate for pet CPR classes and pet first aid classes enough. So, you know, I'm living proof that it really, really helped. And when you least expect, all emergencies are not expected, but it could, you know, save your pet's life.
Yeah, I mean, I would be so scared, you know. So I think, mm-hmm. like you said, being prepared, having, you know, knowing how to do it, what to do, really, you know, obviously made a difference in Francesca's life, right? So that,
yes.
that's an amazing story. I think that's a really great reason why you should take a CPR course. And I think that's great. And, you know, and there's also other courses, right? So I also wanted to mention, Sue, that the American Red Cross does offer an online course. It's when, you know, you just take it your own pace, you know, when you go online and check it out. And it's just $25. So it covers basic first aid. I don't think it covers CPR, but I know a lot of times they do also help some of the groups that are out there with materials for CPR classes. So, you know, again, take some sort of pet first aid. And if you could take CPR, that's really great. But like you said, you'll never know when you need it.
Absolutely. Great advice. So, Kim, what if, heaven forbid, a pet has eaten something toxic? What should pet parents do? What's the first thing we do?
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, you want to make sure that you get whatever is in front of them, whatever they've been eating, away from them. If you can get that label or whatever, just so you know what it might be, that would be really helpful. Call your veterinarian or emergency clinic immediately. This is very important. Again, having been through this myself, yeah. I understand that this is really important. And, you know, you can also, you know, if you don't contact your veterinarian or emergency clinic, there are some pet poison hotlines out there. You know, they do have a slight fee. I think that there's the ASPCA Animal Poison Control, and there you can look them up. They're at 888-426-4425, and they have like a $95 fee. And then there's also the Pet Poison Hotline, and they're at 855-674-7661. You can put both those numbers again in your phone.
Yes.
Not a bad idea. And they also have an $89 fee, but I believe they're both open 24/7 all year long. So if you're having some sort of an emergency and you're not sure you should go to the vet, you can always check with them first, and they can help you kind of decide if there's something you can give your pet or whatever. Because, you know, you never want to induce vomiting in your pet until you know what it is that they need. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it could be worse coming back up.
Absolutely. And you know? And, you know, Kim, these are very important numbers. So let's give them out one more time. The ASPCA Animal Poison Control is 888-426-4435. They're open 24 hours a day, every day. And there's, at this time, a $95 fee. Check for the fee charge. And then the Pet Poison Helpline is 855-764-7661. And this is also open 24/7 all year long. And at this time, there's an $89 fee, but please check to see what the fee is. These are two very important. These should also be in our phones. I have these on my refrigerator, but I'm going to put them in my phone.
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea.
And it's very important also that you had mentioned about try not to induce vomiting. You're right. You don't call your vet first, have them walk you through, or call an emergency vet before you do anything on your own. So that's very helpful. Those instructions are very helpful also.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's also helpful to have that package or label with
yes.
you. I know when I called the vet and I was telling them about Blizzard eating the gum, they were asking me specifically, what gum was it? You know, can you look at the ingredient panel? Can you tell me how much of it they ate? You know, so sometimes you're going to know the answer to those questions. Sometimes you may not. But anything you can do to help them understand kind of what they might have gotten into is always helpful.
And, you know, Kim, throughout the years, you've shared so many things that are important for every pet parent to have in their first aid kits in our shows. And it's one of our most popular shows because everybody wants to know what should be included in my pet's first aid kit.
Yeah, so you know now is a good time to put us on pause, grab
yes.
a piece of paper, and write a few things down. So yeah, there's a good set of things that you can do. There's some basic supplies that you probably need. So things like gauze pads, nonstick Band-Aids, you know, because you know they can wrap it around their paw and with that gauze there and be able to stop some bleeding. Adhesive medical tape, elastic bandage wrap, and cotton balls or swabs. Right. So, and you know, again, you can put a few of these in, you know, in baggies. Like you don't have to put a whole box of everything together, mm-hmm. right? You could just put a few things in there to be able to have when you need them. Certainly having some cleaning supplies. I recommend some saline solution. A lot of times you can use contact, you know, things for contact. Contact saline solution is a great one to be able to rinse wounds. Also having antiseptic wipes. And then you'll want a few tools, you know, things like tweezers to take off splinters, you know, or ticks, small scissors, a digital thermometer, and a flashlight are also good tools to be able to have. And then there's a few safety items that you should have in there too. Things like a leash, because in case you need to put the leash on them just to kind of make sure they don't run off. A muzzle or soft cloth, like we talked about earlier. A blanket or towel to be able to wrap them in. And then some disposable gloves, you know, non-latex if you can, but certainly that could be very helpful. And then there's a few other things, right? The couple other things you might want to have is some styptic powder for bleeding nails. I always remember that my dad using that when he used to cut himself shaving.
Yes, I know.
A little bit of a styptic powder, styptic stick for any kind of bleeding nails. And a tick remover. And then certainly, you know, the numbers we've been talking about. So your veterinarian's phone number, the emergency clinic phone number, the pet poison phone numbers, right? You have them all in one place if you have them there in your pet first aid kit. It's also very helpful to have a list of any conditions your pet has. So if there are other things that you need to remember, you know, about your pet, or any medications that they might take, it's important to kind of have them all there together so that, you know, you can just be able to roll those off, you know, your tongue if you, once you call someone and talk to them a little bit more about what's going on. So, and, you know, I always like to point out that a lot of these items are also needed for human first aid kits.
Yes.
So, you know, so you could build one for your pets, for your family pets, and then you can also build one for your, one for you at the same time, one for your family, right? The rest of your family. So, so that's always really, really good. I know when I talk with people sometimes, it can sometimes feel very overwhelming, like, oh my gosh, Kim, that must be like 20 things. I can't do it. If you can't do it, don't worry. There are some kits on the market. They run anywhere from $20 to $150. You know, it doesn't have to be hard. You just have to put a few things together, get it into, you know, some sort of a bag or a container that's real easy to carry around. And then, you know, it's most important that you have a kit and you have an idea of how to use the things that are in there.
Absolutely. Now, we have our kits, and I have, like I said, I have a special place in my house for, because we have hurricanes, we're in Florida, where everything is for the girls, so I could just go right there. And then I have something for John and I, too, where we have our own shelves. It's a big, big walk-in closet. And so what is the best place for pet parents to keep their first aid kits for their pets?
Yeah, well, I think the first place is definitely to have one at home. I would also recommend keeping one in your car, or, you know, you're taking that one from home and it goes out into the car with you. If you're traveling, if you're taking a walk or going on a hike, you know, you maybe want a smaller kind of mini kit to take on the hike in case, you know, again, your dog does cut their foot or get into something while you're out on the trail or on a long walk. So, you know, at least one at home and then, you know, one in your car maybe. And then, you know, again, if you're traveling or if you're taking a walk, taking it with you, you know, because like you talked about earlier, emergencies are happening when you least expect them. So it's helpful to have them in a couple places.
And so what do you think are the biggest challenges pet parents have during pet emergencies?
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, all the different things that can go wrong and kind of what to do about them. But I think as we think about some of the biggest challenges, right, I think number one is waiting too long to call the vet. You know, a lot of times you may think, let's wait and see, maybe it'll get better or whatever. But, you know, some conditions can worsen very quickly. So I would say when in doubt, always call your vet first, right? Find out kind of what their thoughts are on it. And they'll tell you that, hey, I think you should go in, or, hey, you know, I think you should wait and see. Secondly, giving human medications to pet. So, you know, things like ibuprofen, acetaminophen, other human medications, you know, some of those things can be toxic to pets or toxic in a larger amount, right, than they would need to get. So, again, I would not give medication without talking to your veterinarian first, right, getting that veterinary guidance. Third, I would say we talked about it, you know, as a key thing, panicking, right? Panicking during the emergency, because, right, that being upset, being panicked can sometimes lead to poor decisions. It may also delay kind of getting everything checked out and treated. So, you know, the better thing really is to stay calm, to, you know, to focus on the basic first aid. And of course, if I haven't said it enough, call your veterinarian. It's really important to do that. And you know, not having number four, not having their emergency numbers available, right? So again, we talked about it, the emergency vet clinics, the poison hotlines, usually your regular vet is in your phone, right? But having all those handy in your phone, in your pet first aid kit, makes it easy and fast for you to be able to get the care that your dog or cat may need quickly. And then last but not least, as we've been talking about it today, not having that pet first aid kit, right? So during emergencies, you know, you're going to be scrambling for bandages or towels or supplies. And, you know, maybe you're alone with your dog or cat, right? And something's happening. So again, you know, think about, you know, being prepared, having a pet first aid kit ready to go and available and in an easy place that you can get to it. That's going to be really, really important. And, you know, like we said, oftentimes reacting quickly, being able to do something quickly about an emergency that happens with your pet can really make a difference in the outcome. And, you know, and then, you know, like you said, with Francesca, with Blizzard, can really make a difference in the outcome that you'll have with your pet.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Kim, you have shared such helpful information. What are some of the most important takeaways for pet parents to remember during Pet First Aid Month? And to be honest, every day.
Pet emergencies happen more than people realize, right? More than we think about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being prepared can help you act quickly and calmly. And, you know, being able to have a prepared pet first aid kit and your emergency numbers handy can make a big difference in the outcome and the health of your pet. So our pets rely on us to keep them safe. And just a little preparation today can certainly make all the difference in an emergency tomorrow.
Kim, I want to thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise on the importance of having a pet first aid kit in our homes and the benefits of taking pet first aid classes, CPR classes, so that pet parents can feel more confident providing care for their pets in an emergency situation, and also for giving us guidance and insight on preventing emergencies whenever possible. So I thank you so very much for that. We were so happy to have you as our guest. You're a wealth of knowledge and you brought it today. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Sue. It's hopefully some great information that people can use and benefit from.
As part of our Paw It Forward initiative, a donation is being made in loving memory to the Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast, a nonprofit organization that rescues, provides medical care, rehabilitates, and rehomes Italian Greyhounds in Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. And they operate through a network of foster homes, and Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast relies on donations and volunteers to run this amazing organization. Now, this organization is very near and dear to our hearts because we adopted Miss Olive from them and are honored to have them be the recipient of our Paw It Forward donation in memory of Miss Olive's Gotcha Day, which was in April 2015. To learn more about Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast and how you can help with them, please visit www.igrescuegulfcoast.org. Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.